Blog Talk Radio.
Money 2.0 Business on the Edge presents On the Edge Women in Business. Silicon Valley, Bay Area's AM 1220 KDOW, leading business radio show host. Now helping you excel in business and in life, here is business coach and show host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Business on the Edge Extended, where we extend the conversation from my AM 1220 KDOW and iHeartRadio show, where we talk about it. And this show is brought to you by the Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine here in Silicon Valley. Woo! I like that downbeat at the end of that show opening. Thank you for tuning in to today's radio show. I appreciate your listenership wherever you're listening in from. Hello to those that are international listeners. I always appreciate you tuning in. Don't know why, but you do. So we appreciate it. I appreciate it here in Silicon Valley, Bay Area, United States of America. We are getting it in. It is Black History Month. Also, if you want to dial into today's show, you can dial in at 516-531-9868. That is 1-516-531-9868 and talk with me. Just a note, since this is Blog Talk Radio, keep it clean. If you get crazy on the air, I might have to cut you off. So that's just how we roll. We are talking business. We're talking all kinds of business. We're extending the conversation from my Money 2.0 Business on the Edge show every Friday night, live prime time, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on AM 1220 KDOW, Bay Area's business and finance leader. If you haven't tuned in to our network, tune in. You will not be disappointed. Like I said, it's Black History Month, 1800s to the 1900s. The Negro in business and industry, the Negro. Wow, that is a blast from the past. We have gone through a lot of different tags and titles and names, but we're going to talk about Black enterprise in the 1800s, 1900s. I enjoy history. I enjoy not just any kind of history. I enjoy how something started. I enjoy the foundation of how someone got from point A to point B. I'm interested in knowing about Oprah Winfrey, not the mogul, which she is by her own right, but how did she get there? What are those beginnings when she was told that she was not made for television? And I think they got that wrong. And so the 1800s, the Blacks that are not all in our history books, they weren't in my history books when I was in high school and coming up, but they put their stamp on Black history. They put their stamp on my being able to do this today. And I'll share a little bit about the first Black radio station in the United States. So I had an opportunity. We got a little bit of time today. Today's a long show. I had an opportunity to sit, and I bought these DVDs, these Black History DVDs, and it's a volume of six. It's a six pack, not like you think, but it's a six pack, right? Black History from Civil War through today, and I'm looking at the timelines. And this particular CD that I watched, an episode, "The Negro in Industry," and it has 1965, but it actually covers. It's not really 1965. It's a span of time. And I want to say 1800s to 1900s because some of the people that, I'm just going to share some insight on were born in the late 1800s and did some pretty remarkable things. And we know about Martin Luther King, and we know about Booker T. Washington. We know, you know, we have so many great leaders that we, Malcolm X, that, you know, Jackie Robinson, Jesse Owens, you know, from our sports world. But what about names that kind of get lost in history? So I watched this little episode. It wasn't really that long. Each little volume, and I can't even remember where I bought it from, to be honest. I think I may have gotten it off of, bought it from like PBS. You know, PBS always has some great stories. I love watching some of the things that PBS puts out. Very, very fantastic network. And so I watched it. It was 11 minutes, but I watched a couple of times because I wanted to take some notes. I wanted to kind of digest it. And in this interview, it's really interesting because the interview didn't actually happen in 1965. I would say it happened probably maybe in the 50s, maybe late 40s. I don't know the technology. But they're smoking cigarettes. Yeah, Chesterfield cigarettes. I don't even remember a Chesterfield. Black owned. The interview was sponsored by Liggett and Meyer. Chesterfield cigarettes. They were promoting cigarettes. They're cigarettes. You don't see people smoking in movies too much anymore. You know, movies back in the 50s and 60s, 40s, they're smoking. And so everyone's lit up. But just three leaders, trailblazers, suited up black men. And so Claude A. Barnett, you might, Albert Barnett, was doing the interviews. He was the founder of the Associated Negro Press. And then you had C.C. Spaulding. Now, you might be familiar, of course, with C.C. Spaulding, who is the president of the North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company. And, in fact, I think they have named an elementary school in North Carolina after him. I think it's an elementary school. And then Horace Sutter, who was a member of the National Negro Business League. And that has been renamed the National Business League. And so I got to listen to them talk about what they thought was happening in Black America at that time or in their time. And I was really fascinated with the fact that there was so much Black enterprise going on that these men saw Black entrepreneurship and starting your own business and education, all of these things were important to the Black community during the 1800s, 1900s. And I'm wondering, if you want to call in and have a conversation with me about this, here's a question. I'm wondering if we have lost some of that. I know that we're talking about Black Lives Matter and equity and equality. But when I see something like this, I'm wondering, and I'm Black, African-American, educated, love education, love entrepreneurship, entrepreneur, business owner. But when I see something like this, when I see our people and you watch these stories and you listen to their stories, and it's such an honor to have engaged this interview on record and how these men saw America, how C.C. Spaulding saw Black American enterprise was just absolutely fascinating. And in fact, I'm gonna quote him. And one of the things that he says, Horace Sutter, says, that's Cece Spaulding, said in this interview, the number of businesses owned and operated by Negroes is constantly growing. And he felt like it was very obvious that there was something happening that was igniting movement and ownership and enterprise within the Black community, Blacks starting businesses and hiring their kids. And I look at this and I think, this is me, you can disagree with me, I think we've lost some of that. I was just sharing with my 27-year-old son, I'm investing in his career. He's an animator and storyboard artist, and I work in an industry, in a medium that can stretch him a little bit and give him opportunities and give him additional credit. So I'm paying him to work on a project for me, a commercial we're working on. And sometimes working with your parents is not fun. Working with your children may not be fun, but I want it to be fun. I want it to be interesting, and I want us to have an experience that I myself see within other nationalities and races, where we see Asians as they migrate to America and build up their own communities. You can go into their restaurants, and you may see, you'll see the owners, and you'll see their kids working there. I think that's awesome. Indian community, same thing. Africans who migrate to America now, you'll see they'll start their own businesses. And white America, they have been always enterprising and bringing their kids in. And we saw the former president bring his whole family into the White House. Who does that and gives them jobs? This is not about Trump today. You can believe that. This is Black history. So I'm wondering if we've lost some of that. And did we lose some of that in all of the transitions that has taken place in our society in an effort to integrate, in an effort to bring equity? And we have to get back to that. We have to get back to enterprising. They talked about, and let me just say this. Let me just back up. The producers of this particular piece, Black History, the industry experts at this time, the Negro in industry, this was produced, this was a series. And I'm going to see if I can get my hands on the whole series. I thought this was, like I said, fascinating. I have a contact at the Smithsonian Museum for the African American Museum, who may be able to help put this together for me to help me get my hands on the entire series. But it was produced by E.M. Glucksman, and they took this committee. There was this national board of Black men to discuss this subject matter, to agree that this would be the subject matter for this particular presentation, this particular interview. And this included Frederick Patterson, who was the president of Tuskegee Institute. And you can look these folks up, look up these powerful Black men. Reverend Marshall Shepard, Recorder of Deeds, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And again, we're talking about the 1900s, early 1900s. William J. Trent Jr., the Executive Director for the United Negro College Fund at the time. William S. Townsend, International President, United Transport Service Employees. Are you listening to the positions, the executive positions held? President, Executive Director, International President, United Transport Service Employees. C.C. Spaulding, President of North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company. Insurance was a big business. A lot of black businesses, I didn't know that. A lot of black small businesses were insurance companies. Claude A. Barnett, Director of the Associated Negro Press. And so they agreed that this would be the topic. And so those that were interviewed, three men in the room, again, Claude, the journalist, Barnett interviewed C.C. Spaulding and Horace Sutton. What were blacks doing? What kind of work were they doing? You know, when we look at black history, we do focus a lot on, when we look back, we see slavery and we see cotton fields and we see, what about professional careers? Entrepreneurs, business owners, professionals, testing and research, banking, bank tellers at the time. Again, think of the time frame now. Think of the time frame. They showed a clip, and they didn't give her name, but she was a credit manager, black female credit manager in the early 1900s. 14 black-owned banks with assets and resources more than $33 million. Today we have, 43 black-owned banks in America. And what's interesting about that, what's interesting about the black-owned banks that just hit the news today, I got to go to a commercial break, but when I come back, I'm going to tell you what Wells Fargo is doing for black-owned banks in America today. I'm going to go to a commercial break, and when I come back, I'll share that bit of news.
Small business owners, you have a voice, and that voice is the Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine, a dynamic, interactive experience that promotes your products and services to your customers. Join small business thought leaders and game changers from Silicon Valley and around the nation and be a part of the next big experience. The Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine is your gateway to leverage multiple opportunities to connect with your readers, your clients, and backlink to your special offers. Subscribe as a concierge for as little as $25 a month. Connect with local, national, and international readers, tailoring your goals to your market. Remember, advertising and marketing is a proactive and long-term activity, and it works. Play the long game and win with the Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine. Benefit from special features like YouTube tips and training. Submit articles and learn how to get selected at no extra cost. Click smallbusinessconcierge.biz and put your business in front of the eyes that matter. Smallbusinessconcierge.biz.
Well, we're back. We're back. Get connected with our Small Business Concierge magazine. We are still trying to get that website up, our refreshed website. We actually do have our website up, obviously, but we've got a refreshed look, and I'm looking forward to that coming online any day now. So take a look at us, smallbusinessconcierge.biz. We're a Small Business Concierge communications and digital media company. Check us out. Check that magazine out. So 43 banks, black banks in the United States today, 14 black-owned banks in the 1900s, early 1900s. Wells Fargo in the news today, Bloomberg News is reporting. If you didn't look it up while we were on that one-minute commercial break, Wells Fargo is going to invest or has invested in black-owned banks. They're pledging. So Wells Fargo has made some equity investments in six black-owned banks And they pledge, the bigger scope here is they're pledging $50 million to support minority-focused lenders. Well, it's about time, Wells Fargo. Come on. We are history makers and world shakers, right? And I'm stealing that phrase from Tim Story. But I taught my son that when he was born. When my son was born, and he still hears this to this day, but he would hear as a little boy, you're a history maker, you're a world shaker, you're a leader. And it's about time we get on the same page. We need to move forward. You know, two is better than one. We can grow in our disciplines and being a benefit to the world and to humanity collectively, rather than being concerned about the color of my skin. I mean, come on. And so this is fantastic news. So the San Francisco Bank is going to assign, and you can look at this online. You can go to MSN.com, Bloomberg News, to check this out. This story is real. I'm not kidding you. But I'll give you a little tidbit, and I'll get back to my Black history information here. So the San Francisco-based bank, they're assigning dedicated teams. And in fact, I'm going to quote them right here. The San Francisco-based bank will assign dedicated teams to provide the lenders with financial technology or product expertise, it said in a statement today, February 8th. Wells Fargo didn't disclose the amounts of each investment. So you can go out and read more, and they share the lenders. They share Bank of America information, Citi, the number of Black-owned banks in the United States. And this is interesting because Black Enterprise reports that there's 43 Black banks in America, but this news today is showing that U.S. banks, Black banks, has dwindled to 18 from 48 over the last two decades. And so I'm going to have to double check that story and see who's got their facts straight on this. But has dwindled to 18 from 48 over the last two decades, and their combined assets have declined since the 2008 crisis. So we'll take a look at that and do a deeper dive and see whether or not we can get a solid number there. But the good news is that there's investments by larger organizations, banking institutions, financial institutions to support and I don't want to use the word support. I think that's the wrong word. I think the right word would be collaboration wouldn't be the right word either. But investment is the right word, investing. And investing in the betterment of our community as a whole. Investing in Black enterprise is a good investment, is a great investment. So I don't want to diminish it by saying the wrong word. And I've got a caller. I'm going to take this caller and see what they are up to and what they're thinking, because we're here to talk about it. Hi, you're live with Margaret Jackson here on Blog Talk Business on the Edge Extended. How are you?
Hey, Margaret, I'm just fine. I'm Tahaka Monael Bay. I just dialed in to listen to what you had to say, but you throw me on the radio. So here I
did. You called in. So what do you think about this? What do you think about Black Enterprise? Since I have you on air, what do you think? Do you think we're going in the right direction, or do you think we lost something from the 1800s, 1900s, because there was so much Black Enterprise going on?
Well, this is just my personal opinion. I wasn't ready, but now you got me out here.
I got you. Got to talk about it now.
All right, well, this is the way I see it. First of all, my name is Taka Mane Obe. I'm a Moorish American national. And the first thing that I have to say, based on what I know from my own personal position, is when you say black businesses, I think that's part of the problem, because it looks like they think it's black people. If everybody on the earth have a nationality, and all nationalities associated with a landmass, and all people that have a nationality associated with a landmass are respected, and there's no one on the planet, on the map of human geography, that are black or white or anything else that doesn't have a nationality, that's I think that's our number one problem. However, I think we're still dealing with the fact of being cut off from knowledge of self, knowledge of culture, knowledge of history, and all that. Just like a plant, you it got roots on it, you pull it out, ground, cut off the roots, plant it back, it's going to die. But nevertheless, one more time, when we start dealing with things from a whole different paradigm, number one, we don't have, as a people, any communities. We have neighborhoods. We have spots that we reside and live in, and this is where we have to start. But when we start looking at things based on the demographics of where someone else is placed up for us, and we start dealing with that, we're going to continue to run into a brick wall. That is my personal observation based on what I've seen.
That's your personal. I appreciate your personal observation. Now, you said you're Moorish, so you are Moor from North Africa?
No, that's another tale. What we fail to realize is
let's talk
the
about
Moors,
it.
The Moors and the Egyptians, the word Moor is a nickname for the same people. We all got the same sciences.
Right.
We have supreme mathematics, same sciences, but we still dealing with the same people that started out in the beginning, the ancient Egyptians. Egypt is in the east and the west. And
right.
I think that's where we get turned around, because the majority of the pyramids that was ever built was built by us, and they are in the north, down here in the east and north and South America, opposed to being in North Africa, even though they're still bringing up ruins in Africa. The majority of them are built down here, including in the Amazon.
Right. So you mentioned, and I'm gonna let you answer this, and I'm gonna let you off the hook here. Let me get back to some of this other content. But you said we don't have a community. So So what do you think we need to do to develop our community?
In order for us as a people to develop community, we're going to have to first develop knowledge of self. We're going to have to deal with our own culture, our own story, our own customs from a position of East and West in order to realize that we cannot save anybody, help anybody until we first help ourselves. And yet, in order to do that, we're going to have to go back to the original saying that was first placed on the stone, printed in stone or carved in stone, the man knows thyself, the woman knows thyself. And once we start doing that and start dealing with the man in the mirror, then we can start forming communities.
All right, all right.
We have neighborhoods.
We have neighborhoods. Well, we're gonna have to look at the man in the mirror, like Michael Jackson said. Thank you for listening.
Right.
I'm gonna put you back in the queue here, and you can continue to listen. And we got about a half hour before I'm out of here. Thank you for listening and tuning in and calling in. You talked about it, so I appreciate your insight and your share today. We need to hear from our black brothers and sisters, and I know you said the black is not a race. So that's another discussion. Black and white is not even a color, but we're not going to talk about that today. But we can talk about that another day. We'll talk about that another day. But thank you again.
All right, Mark.
All right, all right, all right. And this is why I'm here. We want to talk about it, and I want to hear the voices of my listeners out there. I want you to call in and talk about it. I don't have all the answers, but when we talk about it and we look at other people's perspectives, learn something. I like this little. I like to watch this show, NCIS, and they got NCIS New Orleans. And I like NCIS New Orleans because when they go to a crime scene, you know, they gear up and they team up and they look at each other and they say, learn something, learn something, learn something. I just learned something. So like I was saying, I was watching this piece that has made it onto a DVD. And I bet when they were sitting down recording this on the technology of the time, never thought that it would end up on a little circular disc. And I'm watching it on this new technology, this DVD drive or Blu-ray disc drive that I would then go on air somewhere and have a broader discussion about what they talked about. And so, again, some of the things that they talked about in the 1800s, 1900s of what blacks were doing. They were advertisers, sales representatives. They were business owners. Insurance was, I really, really was surprised that insurance was such a big deal. Ora Higgins, that's not a name that you hear too often. I never heard Ora Higgins' name in any of my history, going through any of my education. But Ora Higgins was a personnel manager. And in fact, she was the first black, I don't know if you remember the department store Spiegel's, or the company Spiegel's. And she was hired in, gotten her master's degree, gotten black female, and became the first black personnel manager to integrate Spiegel's, to train the people on how to connect and work together. And it's very interesting as part of an organization and integration and integrating. One of the things that they're doing is integrating and doing training for companies that are bringing in, you know, people with disabilities, people who we think that since we don't have some disabilities that they're not valued the same, and that's a problem. You gotta be educated. Whether like sign language is a different language. Right. And so you're learning how to interact with different cultures, different lifestyles and different situations that people are in. And so that's what she was doing. She was integrating and integrating blacks, the black people into Spiegel. And she paved the way. Another legacy and paving the way, and we're standing on her shoulders. I'm standing on her shoulders. Walter White Jr. in advertising and sales. We have to, and again, this kind of bothers me, because I think when as I continue to dig deep into my own history and my own past and understanding and appreciating the enterprise, the black enterprise, have we lost something? Have we lost that Scud Missile, Booker T. Washington, who founded the National Negro Business League, which today is the National Business League? Have we lost an edge? Have we lost the black pride and becoming scholars and business owners and attorneys? And I think obviously we're doing it, but there's something to be said for those that came before us and their attitudes and where they were in our timeline. We talk about our millennials today. Millennials are interesting people. I almost said creatures, but people. They're interesting people because they have a very different perspective on how they engage life and how they engage us. There's this attitude of they just kind of think everything kind of belongs to them, right? Everything is they do a different thinker, and I think that our people in the 1800s, 1900s, because of their closeness to the appreciation of being free, no longer being slaves, having freedom. It was right on their heels, right? And so now we have some years distance, and are we distant emotionally, mentally, educationally, and enterprising and doing and building more and continuing to move forward and move our children forward? And so that's the conversations I have with my son. I want to move him forward. I want it to not be as difficult for him as it was for me. I want to give him opportunities that my mother couldn't give to me as a single mother, as a divorced woman. So did we lose something? And as I watched this film, and all through the film, they're using the word Negro. The Negro this and the Negro that, the narrator in this, and it's really was interesting to continue to hear that term. The insurance industry operated by blacks. The insurance industry back then was $175 million industry. Wow. Booker T. Washington believed that economics, and I have to agree with him, I really, it's hard to argue with success, financial acumen, investing, finding ways to expand your business and financial arsenals, and it's hard to look at Oprah Winfrey, who's a billionaire in this country, and not respect what she's done as a woman of color. Michael Jordan, billionaire. Jay-Z, billionaire. Our economic progress has to happen. You are part of our history. We have to make the history for our kids. We have to make the history for our children. We have to produce. Savings and loans was a big industry. Savings and loan, record growth during this time period. 27 managed savings and loan companies were by blacks. Their assets at that time, $20 million from housing, financing, business enterprises, $20 million. And this program went on to say it was difficult to find an industry, their words, not mine, that you could not find a Negro. And we'd entered in all of the different industries. I'm telling you that this has just blown my mind. Paul R. Williams, an architect for the Stars, black man, designing houses for Hollywood stars, influential, the most influential newspaper in America was the Pittsburgh Courier, Negro newspaper, 300,000 subscribers, producing 16 editions released weekly during the week. Have we lost something? Are we learning something? I'm learning something from this. I'm particularly interested in, and I want to thank, again, standing on the shoulders, Jesse Blayton Jr. purchased and became the first black owner of a radio station in Atlanta. Bought it for $50,000. Jesse Blayton Jr. And when he bought it, he replaced the white announcers and staff with black announcers and staff. Yep. 1,000 watt station. And hired his son. Legacy. We have to have legacy. There has to be legacy. The WERD radio station was said to be the home of Martin Luther King Jr.'s leadership conference. And they said Dr. King would bang on the ceiling with a broomstick if he wanted to make a public statement. And they would drop a microphone down from a window, and he'd make a statement. Interesting. You don't know how history is connected together. But I'm standing on the shoulders of Jesse Blayton Jr., who purchased, a black man purchasing a radio station in Atlanta. Wow. Getting back to the basics, we have to be owners. We have to be investors. We have to be educated. We have to have legacies passed on to our children. They need to stand on our shoulders. We should pass the baton. I used to run the 4x1 relay race when I was in college. And what was great about the 4x1 relay was that you passed the baton. So you all had your race to run, but you didn't have to run the whole race. You ran your portion, and you made it easier when you passed that baton for that teammate to get to the finish line. And they ran their portion, and I'm running ahead of my son, and he's running, and I got to pass that baton. And he shouldn't have to run my race. Our children shouldn't have to run our race. And we need to pick up where those who left us their legacies, we have to pick up those mantles and run. Open businesses. I've got to go to a commercial break, and then we'll wrap up.
Small business owners, you have a voice, and that voice is the Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine, a dynamic, interactive experience that promotes your products and services to your customers. Join small business thought leaders and game changers from Silicon Valley and around the nation and be a part of the next big experience. The Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine is your gateway to leverage multiple opportunities to connect with your readers, your clients, and backlink to your special offers. Subscribe as a concierge for as little as $25 a month. Connect with local, national, and international readers, tailoring your goals to your market. Remember, advertising and marketing is a proactive and long-term activity, and it works. Play the long game and win with the Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine. Benefit from special features like YouTube tips and training. Submit articles and learn how to get selected at no extra cost. Click smallbusinessconcierge.biz and put your business in front of the eyes that matter. Smallbusinessconcierge.biz. Small business thought leaders and game changers, you have a voice. And that voice is the Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine, a dynamic, interactive experience that promotes your products and services to your customers. Be a part of the next big experience. Subscribe as a concierge for as little as $25 a month and connect with local, national, and international readers. Click smallbusinessconcierge.biz and put your business in front of the eyes that matter. Smallbusinessconcierge.biz.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Margaret Jackson. I am the radio show personality for AM 1220 KDOW Radio and iHeartRadio here in Silicon Valley. We're on Blog Talk Radio here, my extended show, Business on the Edge Extended, where we talk about it. We extend the conversation, things that we can't get to on air, or maybe the format, it does not allow us to go in certain directions. So we do it here on Blog Talk Radio, Business on the Edge Extended. And so we extend the talk. If you do want to listen to my show on Friday nights, I am live. I'm part of a money team at the network, Money 2.0, Business on the Edge. And that's Friday night. We are live prime time. You can call in if you'd like to on that station. If you want to call in today here and get on the air with me, you can dial 516-531-9868. But if you want to listen live and join me on Friday nights where we are Silicon Valley live, streaming live and satellite live, you can connect with me there as well on am1220kdow.biz. If you're listening live on or streaming on the web, you can find us on iHeartRadio, or if you are in your car, you can turn that radio dial and connect with me there. So we're talking about Black history, Black enterprise, the Negro in business and industry of the 1800s, 1900s. Great waymakers. And I talked a little bit about Ora Higgins. Ora Higgins actually, by the way, passed away in 2012, but there was so much more that she did and accomplished. And I want to kind of toot her horn just a little bit more. So Spiegel's, and like I said, she worked for Spiegel's. If you were listening earlier, if you're just tuning in, Ora Higgins was the first Black African-American Negro personnel manager. And I watched this interview of her and, you know, Times, and she's talking and says, you know, and she's using the word Negro. But became the first Black personnel manager for Spiegel's, integration program. And so she was covering hiring, training, problems employees might, you know, experience. But she was getting them to work together. She developed processes and plans and educating and training within this company to integrate. And she spent 31 years in that company. She consulted an engineer and integration program for different department stores. Chicago had a lot going on at the time. This was in Chicago. And we see a lot of migration happening from the South to the Midwest because there was so much going on in Chicago. And so she did training for integrating these programs in department stores in the Chicago Loop. If you're familiar with Chicago, I'm from Illinois. I was born in Illinois, so I'm very familiar with the Chicago Loop, the financial and business center of the city. She spoke for the United States Department of Labor on race and poverty during the Lyndon Johnson administration. History makers, way makers. And so we have a responsibility to pick up where those that have left us a legacy to start with. They pass their baton to us. And so I want to encourage you out there, those that are African-American, Black, our people, our nation. I agree. I think community is important. I agree that we need to know who we are, where we came from. And I would say that even starts from the beginning of your ancestral roots. Dial it all the way back. I like to dial it all the way back to Adam and Eve. I think that there's some interesting things to learn there. Remember when I started this show out, I said, history is interesting to me. Oprah Winfrey said this. She says, you know, everyone wants to ride with you in the limo, but no one wants to ride with you on the bus when the limo breaks down. And I'm interested in knowing Oprah's story on the bus. The bus story, the cab story, that I had to walk to school in 5 inches of snow, freezing cold. I want to know those stories of perseverance, character, development, building. Tells me something about that person. Tells me something about opportunity. And we talk about the American dream. For those that are listening international, we talk about the American dream. The American dream in America is a fight for Black people in this country. But I am proud to be an American, to have an opportunity to fight for that dream. And I want to fight for it and pass something on to my son and to my grandkids so they don't have to fight my battles. They don't have to fight my challenges. And so we have to look at stories like the Negro in business and industry, Black history in the 1800s, 1900s, what was going on. Last week I talked about Biddy Mason for Black History Month. And we're going to be talking more about every day. And I've never done this before, is for my shows talking about Black History Month in Black History Month every day. On air somewhere. First time. And so I'm going to be here for an hour, for 15 minutes, for half hour, Monday through Thursday, Blog Talk Radio, sharing something about Black history. Remember, learn something. We want to learn something. And so we have influentials. We have resources out there, the Ora Higgins. Who's today's Ora Higgins? Who is that today? Are you in the HR industry? Think about it. There's an article that Black Enterprise published last year. And it talks about the National Business League rolling out a $1.8 million platform to help connect Black businesses with technology due to COVID-19. We lost 41% of Black businesses last year due to COVID. Almost 50% of Black businesses shut down because of this pandemic. And we got to rebuild. We got to get back on the saddle. We have to pivot. We have to find ways of rebuilding. So if you have not had an opportunity, and this is the first time that you're hearing about the National Business League rolling out this $1.8 million platform, go out to the National Business League's website and get connected to a platform that they're using to close the digital divide for Black-owned small businesses. Again, this is in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. This is bringing the National Negro Business League forward. The National Business League, which name was changed throughout its, from its original, from its original name. And that was back in latter 1900s. See if I have that date for you. The National Negro Business League, early 1900s, Booker T. Washington establishing it. I'll have to get that to you and get back to you in terms of when that name changed to National Business League. And you're like, well, that's not important. Well, it kind of is. It kind of is. What does it mean? It means progress. This league grew to 320 chapters by 1905. When it was established early 1900. 600 chapters in 34 states by 1915. Our history is important. Our story is important. And it's time for change. It's time for you to build your story. So someone on air 50 years from now, 80 years from now, 100 years from now is sharing your story and how your life is a legacy for them. So again, this is Margaret Jackson, AM 1220 KDOW and iHeartRadio. I hope you learned something. I learned something. And I'm going to continue to learn. I'm going to continue to dig deep, dive deep. But until our next show, be good to someone. Stay out there and stay safe. Build your dreams.